the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, sounds like a program of hope and encouragement today as we take a stand on the Word of God.
We live in a world where people are all the time asking the question, what's true for you? You know, as if truth could be kind of individually invented. If that was the case, then truth for me would die with me.
Sure.
And that's no good. I need something that I can stand on in life and death and forever. And the word of the Lord was true before I ever was, and it will be true long after I've departed the scene of this world. That's true for all of us. That is why we are able to stand on the living and enduring word of God. We come and we go, but the word of God stands forever.
And that's what we're looking at in our broadcast today. So if you can, open your Bible and join us in Isaiah chapter 40 as we continue the message, the word of God. Here's Pastor Colin.
God is in control of your death as well as your life. This is something very important for the church to say and to speak, that God is in control as much of your death as of your life. And notice how he says this in verse 7. The grass withers, the flower fades. Now, when does the flower fade? Notice the clear statement here. The flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. So why does the grass wither? Why does the flower fade? Because the breath of the Lord blows on it. Now, this is very important to understand, to know ourselves and to understand our life. According to the Bible, human life both begins and continues and ends by the breath of God. You remember from the book of Genesis, right back in the beginning, how Genesis 2:7 tells us that the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. So God forms what must have been essentially a corpse, forms this body from the dust of the ground. In other words, you could do a chemical analysis of the human body, and you would find all these elements from the periodic table, and it could be divided, and even people have put a value on what are the various components of a human body, what are they worth. But this is just a corpse, and it's lying on the ground, and God's made it from the dust, chemically analyzable. That wasn't a word. Anyway, there we go. But what does God do? He breathes the breath of life. And suddenly, can you imagine this? Adam becomes conscious, aware of himself. He lives. He's a living being. He gets up, and his first view is the face of God revealed to him. That's how human life began. That is how your life began. God breathed life into you, and your life today is sustained by the fact that he is breathing life into you. It is in him, the apostle says, that we live and move and have our being. So life begins by the breath of God. That's what it is. That's why breath and life are interchangeable words in the way that they're translated in the Bible. And one day, God will breathe on you again. And that will be the time when your life in this world will end. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. And this is stated in other places in the Bible. Psalm 104 and verse 29, David says, when you take their breath away, they die and return to the dust. So you notice the you. Life, the beginning of your life was not a matter of random chance. The fact that you're you as opposed to millions of other people who may have come to be through your father and your mother, the fact that you're you is because God created you. He breathed life into you. He was in control of the beginning of your life. And the timing of the ending of your life is as much in his hands. When you take away their breath, they die. Not before, not after. It's in your hand, O God. That's when they return to the dust. And of course, Job said the same thing. And you know this verse very, very well. The Lord gives, and the Lord has taken away. So blessed be the name of the Lord. Thinking about this blowing, and particularly God blowing, and thinking about this marvelous thing, when we celebrate birthdays, we have this great tradition that seems to go widely around the world, and what a marvelous tradition it is. We have a birthday cake. And we bring in the birthday cake, and on the top of the birthday cake, what do we have? We have candles. And we put one candle for every year that the person we are celebrating has lived. And we light the candles. 7 candles, 10 candles, 21 candles. Then the cake gets brought in, and everyone sings, "Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you." And then what do? We say to the person whose life we are celebrating, "We now want you to blow all these candles out." I said to Karen, "Why in the world do we do that?" And she gave me the wisest answer. I couldn't think why we did that. She said, "It's because these are the years that are done." Of course. So we had this year, for our oldest granddaughter, that's twice I've got that in, and so that's a little bit of an indulgence, her first birthday. We bring in this cake with one candle on it. We all say, "Happy birthday." And then we say to little Jimmy, "You've got to blow this out. You need a little bit of help." And there's this one candle. And 1 year of her life is gone. Her first year is done. It will never be lived again. And next year she'll blow out two, because two are done. She'll be into her third year. And these two will never occur again. And then it's 10 candles. And then it's 21 candles. And then people stop putting the number of candles on your cake. And then you say, a little further down the line, "If you dare put that number of candles on my cake, I'm going to be very, very unhappy. And I don't have that amount of breath to blow out 60 candles. And I don't know how many candles will be on my cake. You don't know how many candles will be on your cake. But what we're being told here, to take up the picture, is that one day God will blow out the last candle. And I'll tell you this, I'm so glad that it's God who's doing the blowing, and that that timing is in his hand, that it's not a matter of random chance, that as someone who belongs to my loving Heavenly Father, who gives me life and is sustaining life for me right now, he's the one who already knows the time when I say, "Colin, it's time for you to come home." That's marvelous. Whew. Come home. Your death is as every bit as much in the control of God as your life is. Now, here's what I want you to understand. This is true of every person. The good and the bad, the religious and the secular, the Christian, the Muslim, the old and the young, the rich and the poor. This is not something that's just true of human believers. This is something that is true of human life. This is true as much as of God's enemies as it is of his friends. The Bible speaks about Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, who in the last time will embody evil, hatred, and everything that is antithetical to Jesus Christ. And how will Christ destroy him? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 8, Christ will destroy him, how? By the breath of his mouth. Here's Antichrist, who establishes himself in the very throne of God, seeking to take the place of God, in the temple of God, I should say. And when Christ decides that his time has come, here's what Christ does in the glory of his return. You are gone. That's it. That's sovereign power. That's the control of the moment of death of his most antithetical enemy as much as his closest and his dearest friend. Life and death, my friend, are never a matter of random chance. Whether you're God's enemy, whether you are God's friend, God blows life into you, God will blow life out of you. Your life begins and ends with the breath of God. It continues right now by the breath of God, and the timing of its ending is in his hand. And again, for the person who loves Christ, this is the most comforting. Comfort, my people. This is the most wonderful truth. The timing of my death is in the hand of God. That is why George Whitefield said, you know what? And he went through many dangers. He said, here's how I have peace. I am immortal until my life's work is done. That was not a formula for stupidity, but what he said was this. I have great confidence that the timing of my departure will only be when God's work for me is finished. And until then, there is work for me to do because I'm still here. All the days that were written for me were in God's book before one of them came to be. That's what David says in Psalm 139. But listen, for the person who is resisting God, for the person here this morning, and you're still holding out on his claim over your life, this is the most sobering truth, and I am praying that today this will be the truth that wakens you up. God can blow on you at any time. And when he does, you'll be gone. And his spirit does not strive with a person forever. God is giving you life and breath even now while you're holding him off. That's grace that he's extending more time to you right now. And the question is, how will you respond to that grace even today? So here's how I'm to think of my life. Brother, sister, here's how you're to think of my life. I am like a candle. I am lit to burn for God's glory for a short time until he blows on this candle and then the flame goes out. And I will be in another and in a better world. And what then is the best thing that this candle can do? What is the best thing that I can do with this short life that he is giving to me? It is surely to give myself wholly and without reserve to whatever God has for me to do in this life that he is giving to me, to offer this life back, to hand it into the hands of the one who is sustaining it in me even now as I speak. Oh God, I'm yours. That's what I want my life to be.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called The Word of God. It's part of our series, Waiting for the Lord, taken from Isaiah chapter 40. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can come and you can listen online. Our website is openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. If you want to make sure you don't miss a future broadcast, you can come to the website and sign up to podcast the program. That's a great way to be able to later listen to programs as it fits your schedule. You can also do that if you have the Open the Bible app. The app is free. You'll find it at your favorite app store. And in addition to this daily radio program, we have our weekend broadcast there, A Plan for Reading Through the Bible in a Year, our daily devotional that you can both listen to and read, and a lot more. So if you don't have the app yet, I want to encourage you to go get that. Again, you'll find that at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through our website, which is openthebible.org. If you happen to join us a little bit late, we're in Isaiah chapter 40, so grab a Bible, meet us there, as we continue the message, the Word of God. Here's Pastor Colin.
Your life is beautiful, and it is fragile. God is in control of your death. Thank God for this as much as your life. That's one of the great answers to fear. Your life is in the hand of God. The moment of your calling home is in the hand of God. And here's the third and the last thing. You can trust God's word completely. Verse 8, the grass withers and the flower fades. Notice that's the second time he said that in two verses, double underlined. But, the word of our God will stand forever. Feel how solid that is? And you see the contrast. Human lives come and go. A little mist vanishing, a flower that fades. God just blows on it and it is gone. But God's word, it stands forever. And as this whole chapter is anticipating Christ in multiple ways, we look at that. God's word stands forever, yes, and this word that stands forever has become flesh. He dwelt among us, and his name is Jesus Christ. Oh yes, children grow and people mature and we move through adult life and then we become aware of memory failing and all the rest of it. Powers of the body and the mind begin to fade. Eventually we die. One generation gives way to another and on and on and on and on and on it goes. But now Jesus Christ comes into the world and this one human life is different from all others for this reason. John chapter 5 and verse 26. As the Father has life in himself, says Jesus, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. Friends, that's the great difference between Jesus and us. Life is given to us, and life will be taken from us, but Jesus has life in himself. He has it. And that's why he's able to give it. It's in the Christmas reading in John 1. In him was life. That's different from you and me. And that life was the light of men. That life. That's why Jesus alone in all of human history, no one else could ever have said this or anything like it. He says, nobody takes my life from me. Because I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it up again. Nobody else in all human history has ever been able to say that or to do it. But Jesus said it, and Jesus did it. He laid down his life when he died on the cross as the sacrifice for our sins, and then he took it up again in his own marvelous resurrection. And he is the Son of God, and he is the Word of God, and he stands forever. The Word of God stands forever. Forever. The grass withers, that's us. The flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. You can trust this Christ. You can trust this Savior. See what he's saying? He's laid out the gospel, and now he's saying, and tell people this, you need it. Because of the very nature of your life, it's beautiful, it's valuable, but it's fragile, and one day it's going to end, the candle's going to blow out, and you cannot trust yourself. You cannot live on yourself because you do not have life in yourself. But you can trust the Word of God, and this Word of God has become flesh in Jesus Christ. You can put your trust in him. Many of you know the beautiful hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. You know, to his feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like thee his praise should sing. There's a beautiful verse in that hymn, and it's based on this passage of Scripture, and it goes like this. I wonder if you remember this one. Frail as summer's flower we flourish. Blows the wind and it is gone. But while mortals rise and perish, God endures, unchanging on. And you see the point here. Trusting yourself, therefore, you're here today, gone tomorrow. Trusting yourself is futile. Your life, beautiful gift from God, though it is very fragile, frail. Seizing the wheel, therefore, and trying to pilot your own life is the surest way to disaster. Looking at teachings and philosophies that are here today and gone tomorrow, and people who themselves live and die, and trying to build your life on the foundation of something you get from them, that makes no sense. No, you have to find the unchanging, sure foundation. God endures unchanging on. The word of the Lord stands forever, and this word has become flesh and dwelt among us. Here's where you ground your life, in Jesus Christ. Here's where you find your life. Life is in him. He has life in himself. And he's able to give that life to you. A voice says, cry. What shall I cry? What's the message then that the church is to bring into this broken world? What is the word of God that is coming to us, to you in particular today? Your life is beautiful, but it is also fragile. God is in control of your life and also of your death. you can trust God's word completely. And this word has become flesh. His name is Jesus. There is a Savior for you, and this Savior is God. This Savior has life in himself, and he's able to blow new life into you. Do you remember how John puts it so beautifully? He says, the wind blows, notice that word, where it wishes, and so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. And here's what he's saying, that God is able to blow a new kind of life into you. He's able to blow a new heart into you. He's able to blow new energies into you, new affections into you, new desires into you, a new love for him into you, a new capacity to be able to live for his glory into you. He's being able to blow this new life into you, and he speaks tenderly to you today. He reaches out to you today, but he also speaks to you with urgency today. Remember, your life is fragile as well as beautiful. And so believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him. Submit to him. Trust him. Yield to him. Follow him. And you can rest secure on his promise that all that he has accomplished and all that he now offers will truly be yours.
Some great promises and an invitation to wrap up today's broadcast. We can rest assured in all of God's promises, and he invites us to come to know Jesus in a personal way, to turn to him, submit to him, trust him, as Pastor Colin said, to yield our lives to him and to follow him. You know, if you have done that, you know about the joy and the peace that comes in that relationship with God through his son Jesus. But if you're listening today and you realize that that's not you, you've never done that, but you've got questions about that, you'd like to know more or even begin that relationship with Jesus today, I want to encourage you to get a hold of us here at Open the Bible. We have staff members who would love to talk with you and pray with you and introduce you to Jesus. Our toll-free number is 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Our message today is called The Word of God, and if you missed any part of today's message or any previous broadcast in our series, I hope you'll come and listen at our website. Our website address is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported program. We're able to be on this station because of your generosity, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a devotional book that Pastor Colin has written. It's called Waiting for the Lord. And Colin, what is this devotional book about?
Well, it's based on Isaiah and chapter 40, and one of the most marvelous promises in all of the scripture. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, if God is going to speak to me about how I can have my strength renewed, I want to listen to what he has to say about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is for everybody, because Isaiah says, you know, even those who are young will faint and become weary and fall exhausted. I mean, that's true. And I think we begin to feel that, especially at this time of year. You know, there's so much to do. And how am I going to get it all done? And here God speaks to us about how our strength can be renewed. And we want to hear how that happens. And he says it happens as we wait on him. And in this devotional, you'll see how waiting on the Lord actually involves hoping in him, looking to him, and how he gives strength. He actually imparts strength to match the particular challenges that we face at any point in life. So this is a great scripture to soak your mind and your heart in, and especially as we prepare for the celebration of the coming of the Lord at Christmas.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this devotional book, Waiting for the Lord, is our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, like opening up a Christmas present. Find out what the glory of the Lord is next time on Open the Bible.